Dear Lord, thank you for this day and that we can be here on this beautiful day. And I pray for all the plans we have afterwards, that that goes well. And as we're sitting here and thinking about the value of serving, that you can work through our hearts and that we can see your intention for that, and that we can value the things that you value, God. Thank you for also valuing us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So, I forgot to grab my Bible. Also, my wife reminded me, if I am too quiet today, that would be a good time to yell at me and tell me to speak up. But that's about the family event, but if you can't hear me, that's the reason. Okay, so today in your pew Bibles, it will be 951, but we're going to be in Philippians 2. Okay, so Philippians, it's in the New Testament. So it's, towards the end. If you're at Ephesians, you're not far enough. And if you're at Colossians, you missed it because it's a little book. Okay. So as I was thinking about serve and for the value of serving, a couple things came to my mind. So first, for when I think of value, there's two different kind of definitions or things that I think of. So the value being the worth, importance, or usefulness of something, or the value being a person's principles, standards of behavior, and what we judge to be important in our lives. So we're going to kind of look at both of those angles as it relates to this passage and serving. So we are going to read. So we're looking at valuing others first. So we're going to be reading for verse 1 to 5. Therefore, if any of you have encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from being loved, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So, if we're in a relationship with Christ, we should be united together. The Philippians were having some issues with being united and also with thinking about themselves too much. So they were being selfish. Here we see the word selfish ambition. So when we see that, what's happening is they're thinking of themselves as better than others. They're putting themselves first. Ambition can be a good thing, but that's when it's for the glory of God. But they were seeking for the glory of themselves. So unselfish ambition is about wanting what is best for others or doing what's right to build each other up. So that's more of what we're looking to do. Lowliness of mind is contrary to the way that the world looks at things. So when we look at others as more important than ourselves, the world sees that as not as much of a good thing. Especially for the Greeks, they saw it as a vice or a weakness. But we're encouraged, not to look at ourselves first, but for others. I came across a quote that is, if everyone is looking up at each other, no one is looking down on anyone. So as we're continuing to look up to each other, then we're not as much focusing on the negatives or the weaknesses of others. For our next point, we're looking at the value of serving to God. So what does serving mean to God? So our passage 6 to 8. So, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in the human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. So, one moment, it's stuck. Okay, so here we see that although Jesus was fully man, he was also fully God. He did not become any less God. Jesus did not have to achieve anything to get divinity because he already had it. He willingly emptied himself of his glory. Picture this. So you have a king or a president, and they decide they're going to go out into the town, they're going to dress up in like as a homeless person, or they're going to look like they have little status. They're probably going to get some funny looks, or people will look at them differently. They don't have that glory of they see them, they bow down, or that they're amazed at them. But that doesn't make them any less of who they are. They still have their kingdom, or they still have their role. Just like that, God, he came down, he took on humanity, but that still didn't take away his divinity. So he humbled himself. He allowed himself to experience pain, humiliation. He submitted to his parents, and many of the other things that we experience also, he took that on himself that he couldn't have been able to experience if he was just in heaven without his humanity. So death on the cross was the lowest that someone could go. At the time when someone was on the cross, they were considered cursed by God. Out of all of history, it's one of the most painful ways for someone to go. And he was obedient even through that. He could have saved himself at any moment, but he still chose to go through and to serve. Even with everything he experienced, yeah, he went through it. Serving was a core of what he did. Even when he was tired, exhausted, he gave his time and energy to people. We see time and time again when he's healing and he's out with the crowds, he wanted to get away, but if someone was in need, he would still give that time up and serve them. Next part we're reading is, so, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So Jesus was given the name above all other names. At first, when I used to read this, I used to think, oh, he's given the name of all other names. I thought that was accredited to Jesus, or being Jesus was the name above all names. But then, looking into it more, we look at the name above all names, the Most High, Yahweh. So Jesus has been given from God, basically God the Father. It's not him giving himself the credit, but he has been given restored to glory. He's been given the name above all names. Paul gave this description of Jesus not to educate the Philippians on theology, but he also gave it to them, encourage them, and to give them courage, that in their hardships and unity, for them to understand why Paul is willing to go through all that he did. There is no higher name or more important person who is more worthy of glory than God. Jesus gave us the perfect example of a life of service, and we are encouraged to follow him. As one of the kids up here said earlier, that it's like, oh yeah, but no one's perfect. Yeah, we as parents or as humans, we fall short at times. Even Paul fell short many times. But God is that perfect example that we have. Our next thing we're looking at is, how do we take up the value of serving? So we saw that it was important to God, and Jesus took on the role of a servant, even to the point of death on the cross. But he was glorified through that and raised again. So we're going to read the next part of this passage. So 12 to 18. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you and will act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among the stars like the sky, as you hold firm to the words of life. And then I will be able to boast on that day of Christ that I do not run or labor in vain, but even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. So here are a few things to point out that we should not neglect the work to work on ourselves as God works in us. It's important to seek out others and the salvation of others, but also to have a fear and trembling or a reverence for God, that we should be seeking to serve him and to grow closer to him as well. In verse 12 and 13, we see mention of works, but it's not to be confused with being for salvation, as God has already provided all the work for our salvation. But God is working in us, and he's working through us. He's working through us so that we can fulfill the good purpose. God is actively changing and transforming us, and we need to lean into that and obey. James 2:20 tells us faith without works is dead. If we are growing in faith, we should continue to produce works and submit to his obedience. We should also reflect God to those around us. We see that his value is for serving and for others, and that we should take that on so that when other people see us, that we see that it's important. So we see serving is a core value for us as followers of Christ. As we have seen, it's important to Jesus. He humbled himself and served to the point of death on the cross. We are not to lift ourselves up, or a Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but be served, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He's the one that's most important and worthy of praise. He's worthy of our praise. So we are called to imitate him and to take on the heart of a servant. That was one of his values that we can take on. Serving is also a key value for us in our church. As members in the church, we enter into a member covenant. And part of that, I took a couple sections of that I wanted to read for us. So, when we take the membership pledge, we pledge, therefore, by the aid of God's Spirit, to live together in Christian love, to work for the advancement of God's kingdom through his church in knowledge, holiness, mutual care, to support its ministries by faithful stewardship of money, time, talents, and to sustain its worship ordinances, doctrine, and disciplines. And then another part of that also is, we further pledge to follow Christian principles of morality in our daily living, to be ethical in our dealings and faithful in our commitments, to promote the unity of fellowship by proper attitudes and careful speech, and to be zealous in our efforts towards the advancement of the kingdom of God here and throughout the world. So when we choose to be members, we're also committing that to God and to each other. We're committed to serve with our money, our time, our gifts, like Pastor David, the passage that he read earlier about our talents. God has given each of us different gifts and talents that we are to use for his glory. We have the ministry fair coming up, and there's many different opportunities to serve in our church, that for every single person, we can find something for that, God has made us all unique and given us all different gifts, as we've talked through this series, for us to be able to use for the body. There's a parable in Luke. So Luke 17, 7 to 10. Suppose one of you was a servant plowing or looking for the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes from the field, "Come along now and sit down to eat"? Rather, wouldn't he rather say, "Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me. I eat and drink after that, you may eat and drink." Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." Sometimes with our culture, we tend to look at serving more as volunteering, but with sometimes in our culture, we look at things as more volunteering as temporary, that we do things for a short time as we are able or as we are willing, and then when it doesn't suit us or we feel like it doesn't apply to us anymore, then we are done with that. But in the New Testament, we don't really see the idea of volunteering. It's more of the idea of being a servant and serving. So in the New Testament, we see that it's more of out of obligation to serve others joyfully, which was modeled by what Christ did for us. He didn't complain. He didn't grumble. He washed his disciples' feet. He did the things. He met with sinners. He healed people. He did all the tasks that were, that they would leave for the sinners, or not for the sinners, for the servants. He humbled himself. For us, sometimes sometimes I can get in the idea of, oh, I'm doing this, and then if it's not as much of a benefit for me, then maybe it's time to do something else. But we're called to serve and to give of ourselves. And even sometimes when it's not as exciting or fun to do, we still need to give ourselves to glorify God through that. So I'm going to pray for us this morning. Lord, I just pray as we think over this and as we look to what does it mean to value you and to value one another, that we can think about where of ourselves can we give to you to bring you glory. We all have gifts that we've been given, and we want to honor you with that, and sometimes it can be scary or difficult, but I pray that you can continue to work through us, and as you're working through us, that we can continue to draw closer to you and to understand your will for our lives, God. I pray as we, think about this, that we, can think about where to bring you glory, God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.